finally, we're going to define in detail these market averages, these market indices that we've been using since the beginning of the semester. So let's get started on slide 48 with market averages and indices. How can we say that stocks have returned approximately 10% over the past 70 years? As you've seen, some stocks have done very well and some stocks have not done very well. Well, the industry uses market averages and indexes. They are benchmarks, standards, used to measure the general behavior of securities prices by reflecting either the average price behavior, that's a market average, or the relational price behavior, that's a market index, of representative groups of securities at any given point in time. They're just lists of stocks or bonds or whatever that they're keeping track of. You cannot help but hear about these every day. The Dow went down, the Nasdaq went up. Well, what are these things? Let's take a look. But before we do, let's look at the bottom of slide 48 and say, look, the difference between a market average and the market index are subtle. The differences. Most people don't even know that there are any differences. And for practical purposes, it's really not that important that we know whether it's an average or an index, except we're going to learn the most important ones, and those are what we're going to key on, the most important averages and indexes, and realizing that there are dozens and dozens of these things. So slide 49 does its best to describe the difference between the market average, where we have share price calculation, which looks solely at the price of the stock without regard to the market value. And the most popular of these is the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And then you have a few other averages that are reported from time to time. The second type is the market index, market weighted calculation. They take into account the capitalization. Now, what is that? That's how big the company is. And we'll learn how to do that in a few presentations. But it's really not that hard. You take the number of shares outstanding and you multiply it times the stock price. So companies that are larger in an index have a greater influence over that index. And we've been dancing around this. And when we discussed the Standard & Poor's 500 in the Chapter 4, presentations, because the S&P 500 is the most popular index for index funds. And we asked in a bonus assignment, are we really diversified when 10 stocks make up 20% of the market and the other, 490 make up 80%, or the first 50 stocks make up 50% of the market. Yeah, so nothing's perfect. Nothing's perfect. And everyone thought, well, market weighted calculations are much better than average share price, and there's nothing that can go wrong until it did in the late 90s, and what's happening now, in my humble opinion, but we're going to see how that works out over the next few years. So let us take a look at the granddaddy of them all, 1896, when Charles Dow, this is the people behind the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the Wall Street Journal, Dow Jones. This stock market average is made up of 30, count them, only 30, high-quality stocks selected for total market value and broad public ownership and believed to reflect overall market activity. Well, they still call it the Dow Jones Industrial Average, but I don't think they should call it that anymore. They just call it the Dow Jones Average. Because what we're going to see is that most of the companies are not industrial companies. So why do they keep calling it the Dow Jones Industrial Average? I don't know. I guess they figure that hamburgers are, you're building hamburgers, and that's manufacturing. I don't know. But as we said, Dow Jones is the company that publishes the Wall Street Journal. And in 2007, it was purchased by Rupert Murdoch of Fox News. It looks as though Dow Jones no longer has anything to do with their market averages or indices. It looks as though they have been taken over by Standard & Poor's. But you can't get a straight answer. Go to the website. It'll say Standard & Poor's, Dow Jones. But it looks like Standard & Poor's is calling the shot. and we'll take a look at the Standard & Poor's 500 in a few minutes. But first, let's take a look at the 30 stocks in the Dow Jones Industrial Average on slide 51. Most all these companies you will know. A couple of them you might not know, but you use their products, like Procter & Gamble, Tide, Crest, Pampers, 3M, Post-it Notes, Scotch Tape. And then a few are drug companies like Merck and Pfizer. And then you have McDonald's. Okay, how do you figure McDonald's is an industrial company? I haven't figured that one out yet. Visa, certainly a popular company, right? And then Disney, Industrial Light and Magic. No, that was George Lucas's special effects company. So some of these, you know, you're very familiar with, and others you're not too familiar with. Who's United Technologies? They make Pratt & Whitney jet engines and Otis elevators, and I think they sold off their helicopter division. But they're a conglomerate. They really are an industrial company. And the company that had been in the Dow since the beginning of 1896 was just booted out by Walgreens Boots. Huh? Who's that? That's Walgreens. GE. GE got booted out a couple of years ago. I think it was 2018. Yeah. And they're no longer in the Dow. So it changes from time to time. And so what we would do right now in the face-to-face class is we would hand out the handout that asks you to go back in time and get $10,000 on any one of these companies and see how you did. And it's kind of fun, so you can do it, okay? Don't peek at the answers. Choose one of these guys and see how you did with 10 grand a bunch of years ago. Sound cool? All right, so play that game on your own because we're not in the face-to-face class. Oh, well. Slide 52. Dow has other averages, the transport average, utilities average. You'll hear about them every once in a while, not too much. And if you add those three averages up, the industrial, the transport, and the utilities, you get the Dow Jones 65 stocks composite average. Again, you don't hear too much about it. But these next two, you do. In fact, you were messing around with this last one here, not the second to last one, in the assignment for chapter 4, because that was one of the funds in the TSP, in the Thrift Saving Plan. It used to be called the Wilshire 4500 because it was the Wilshire 5000 and then the Wilshire 4500, but they Dow Jones took over and then got rid of the name. Tell me it's still the Wilshire 5000 4500. So what's the 5000? That just takes a look at all stocks, right? Total stock market index, you might hear it called. What is this U.S. completion total stock market index completion? Well, I liked Wilshire 5000, Wilshire 4500, because the Wilshire 5000 is trying to show you everybody, you know, all the stocks, big companies, small companies, medium-sized companies. And then the Wilshire 4500, the U.S. Dow Jones U.S. Completion Total Stock Market Index, say that three times fast, that gets rid of the top 500 stocks that are in the Standard & Poor's 500. So that's supposed to look at the medium-sized stocks and the small company stocks. Cool? Okay. You don't see it too much, except when you're looking at 401k plans and the like and index funds and the like, and they have one of these index funds that tracks that U.S. Completion Total Stock Market Index. And then, this is a cute one, Dow Jones created the Internet Index just before the bubble, Internet bubble burst in 2000, and it went on to lose 96% of its value over the next couple of years, 2.5 years. Yeah, how about that for bad timing? Okay, so those are the Dow. All you have to remember is the Dow Jones Industrial Average. That's the one, that's the granddaddy of them all. And it's really not that a good index because it's only 30 stocks. So which would we rather use? Finally, here's a slide that defines the Standard & Poor's 500. We've made mention of this over and over and over again. It's typically 500 stocks. Actually, it's a few more than that right now, and they change over time, that are chosen for market size, liquidity, and industry group representation. It's a market value-weighted index. You see, Dow Jones Industrial Average doesn't care how big the company is, doesn't care how big the companies are. And what they do is they strive to have the largest companies in that index. Whereas the Standard & Poor's 500 says, oh, okay, the bigger the company, the larger the capitalization, what the company is worth, the more weight it's going to have in the index. Very popular, as we saw with index funds. But because the Standard & Poor's 500 is market weighted, it was affected by the tech bubble of the late 1990s in a bizarre manner. The market value of a small percentage of tech companies were inflated to extremes. This skewed the index even more toward those companies. You see how it works? It's a feedback mechanism. If your company gets larger, and it's in the index, that means the index fund managers have to buy more of it. And so that pumps up the price. So they have to buy more of it. It's a feedback mechanism on the way up. And the same thing happens on the way down. When stocks are out of favor, when a certain stock is out of favor and it loses value, well, then it loses weight. And so the market, the index fund manager has to trim those holdings. You see how that works? In 1998, 10% of the gain of the S&P 500 was due just to one stock. That was Microsoft. And so this is what's happening now. A few stocks have blown the S&P 500 to a large amount, and they represent, as we saw with the when you did, I hope you did the bonus exam assignment. I won't give you the exact answer. I want you to find it on your own. It'll take you all 5 minutes, folks. Turn it in. You'll see that 10 stocks make up percentage of the S&P 500. 50 stocks make up almost 50%. When people tell me how wonderful the S&P 500 index fund is, I say, well, are you really diversified? They go, what? What do you mean? And then I say, yeah, 500 companies. I say, yeah, you have 500 companies, but what are their market weights? And then they don't want to talk to me anymore. So I go on my merry way. Slide. But this is a much better measure than the Dow, right? Dow is only 30 stocks. This is 500. But this one's is not perfect, as we just explained. In slide 54, Standard & Poor's has dozens in these indices. Industrial 400, the mid-cap 400, the small-cap 600, the 1500, which includes the S&P 500 that we just saw in the previous slide, the mid-cap 400 and the 600. So in other words, you're trying to look at the market as a whole. And there's transportation, utilities, financial, global, international, sector indices. They have dozens and dozens of indices. And that's why we have dozens and dozens of different types of index funds to track those indices. And that's why there's 12,000 mutual funds out there. Oh, boy. But the only one you have to remember with regard to Standard & Poor's is the Standard & Poor's 500. That's the only one I'm going to ask you to remember, realizing that there are dozens more. Now, the New York Stock Exchange, the American Exchange, now called the New York Stock Exchange Amex Composite Index, and remember, it's called New York Stock Exchange American Exchange, but they call it the New York Stock Exchange Amex Composite Index. Why? To confuse people. And the NASDAQ all have their own indices. The one you'll hear the most about is the NASDAQ. And that's because it is tracking more or less the tech sector. And not all the companies in NASDAQ are certainly technology companies. Starbucks, Costco, you know, but many of them are. So when you hear about the NASDAQ index, you sort of know that something happened in the tech world. Then the NASDAQ 100, you don't hear too much about that. That's the top 100 non-financial firms listed on the NASDAQ. You don't hear too much about that one. The one you're going to hear the most about is the NASDAQ. And what happened to the NASDAQ? In the late 90s, it exploded. It went from 800 in 1995 to 5,000 in the year 2000. And then dropped 80% to 1,200 in late 2002 before it started to recover. And now it's higher than it was at the tech bubble. But all those companies are gone, right? So it's not all of them, but many of those companies are gone. So has the NASDAQ done what it says it's done? No, it's because they keep changing what's inside the index. So these things are just market indicators, folks. You can't really go by them. People say, oh, you know, the NASDAQ, it finally got back to where it was. No, it didn't. It got to some new place because the place where it was, those companies are all gone. Like drcoop.com. You remember that one? Or CMGI or AOL. Yeah, so they're not perfect, certainly. But which one do you have to know on this slide? NASDAQ Composite Index. How did the tech sector work? How did that go? Slide number 36. Now, a few more that we do want you to remember these, because you're going to see these when you look up your index funds or other funds on your 401k, or if you're in index funds yourself. And we already made mention of this one. The Dow Jones U.S. Total Stock Market Index, which has 5,000 companies. Actually, it used to be more, and now it's fewer. But the idea is we want to get total stock market. The big boys, the boys and girls, the mid-sized boys and girls, and the small boys and girls. The mama bears, the papa bears, and the baby bears. And then take away the top 500 companies, the S&P 500, the largest companies, and you wind up with the completion, U.S. completion total stock market index, or sometimes called extended. And is that confusing enough for you? I don't think so. I liked Wilshire 5000 and Wilshire 4500, but yeah, that's what you're up against. They don't want to know anything about Wilshire anymore. Wilshire was another company based, I assume, in L.A., because Wilshire Boulevard, and Dow Jones sort of bought them out and then kicked their name down off the curb. So 57. And then a few more that you should know. The Russell 2000, this is the one that people look to when we discuss small company stocks. Even though we have a small cap index from S&P and everybody else has their own small cap index, this is the most popular one. It's a company called Frank Russell Associates, I think, or maybe they call themselves Russell now. And they took the top 3,000 companies and pulled away the top 1,000. And so they wound up with the 1,001st company in size down to the 3,000th, the company that was 3,000 in the list. And what does that meant to measure? Medium-sized, small companies, right? Because all the big companies are in the S&P 500, and then you take out another 500 off of that, and you wind up with the small companies. And so the Russell 2000 is the popular one when you want to know how the small companies are doing. And then the two that were used for about 30 years or so, but now being replaced, were the MSCI World Index and the MSCI EAFE. Now, you don't have to remember that MSCI stands for Morgan Stanley Capital International. You don't have to remember that. Most people don't even know that. Theirs was the most popular World Index and International. Remember, global, everybody, and then international, everybody except for the United States. And EAFE, it stands for Europe, Australia, and the Far East. Well, what's going on here? Both of these indices measured the developed world. United States, Canada, Western Europe, to some extent, South Africa, I think a little bit. No, it wasn't South Africa. Which one? It was Australia and Singapore, Hong Kong, Japan. Okay, those were the biggies. They might have had one or two from other companies, but those were the big countries that they focused on. So now what's happening? The developing markets, the emerging markets, as they're called, we don't call them third world anymore, thankfully, are gaining size and they're getting bigger. So instead of just adding them into the World Index and the EAFE, they have created two new indices. And again, they didn't ask me, but I would have come up with a much better name, I'm sure. It wouldn't take very hard. They call it the MSCI All Country World Index and the MSCI All Country World ex-USA Index. Now, how's that for? Aren't those catchy titles? So just realize that's what's replacing the World Index and the EAFE Index. Excuse me for that. Water. I need some water. And so we would now, in the face-to-face class, take a look at worksheet number one. So you do worksheet number one, right? Don't peek at the answer, because there are those indices that we want you committed to memory. There are dozens. Forget it. You can't remember all of them. But the Dow Jones Industrial Average, or the Dow, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, then the Russell 2000 for small company stocks, the Dow Jones U.S. Completion Stock, the Wilshire 4500, and then the World Index and the EAFE, realizing that the World Index and the EAFE. Did I miss any? I don't think I did. But look at the worksheet number one, because they're going to be on the exam. But more importantly, you need to know how to do these, dear students, because you are the expert. You are going to be the guru for your friends and family. And so you're going to speak with authority and be awesome. I just know it. So let's continue. So make sure you do that worksheet number one. Okay. What is going to happen every day on the news, right? They're going to want to try to get your eyeballs, get you in front of the screen or the newspaper, if you still read newspaper, and they're going to try to scare you. Look at what happened in today's unstable stock market on slide 58. We started at 29 to 20 and then skyrocketed by noon and then precipitously fell, crashed to 29,206, and then ended pretty much where we started at the end of the day, and we started where we began. Ben, what's going on here? There's a wonderful book. It's all way out of date, the numbers, but it's called How to Lie with Statistics. And what are they doing here? At least they're being honest. They're showing you the scale, right? They're showing you the scale of the numbers. Because what they've done is they've cut out between 0 and 29,206. They've cut out the bottom here. So if we were to add the 0 axis, instead of stock market index mania, we would have stock market index ennui. You know what ennui means? It's a French word. It means beyond boredom. Right, you're not going to see this on the nightly news, right? Because if they showed you the whole scale from 0 to 30,000, it didn't budge at all, right? It's your perspective. And so this is why we tell students, we tell you, we want you to have this long-term perspective, because this is a graph you will not see on the nightly news on slide number 60. Do you remember the graph that showed the volatility of the Standard & Poor's 500 in 2019? Remember? Yeah, well, if we had included the scale, the entire scale from 0 to 12,000, 13,000, you would find that the bumps are not as bad as they seem to be. Does that help with the sleeping well at night? Realizing that if you take the long view, you realize it's not that big a change. I mean, even a 20% downturn, it's not the end of the world. It's going to come back. It has to come back, because if it doesn't, that means the economy has failed us and we're all digging for beetle grubs and boiling bark for dinner. And that's not going to happen. Failure is not an option. We are going to think and feel and positively about the future, that we're going to be well fed. Everyone, we're going to be well clothed and well sheltered and have internet access. And have Pampers and Coca-Cola. I don't want Coca-Cola. You can have it. And Danone yogurt and Nike shoes and Marlboro cigarettes and Jack Daniels. And yeah, the future should be economically positive if we don't blow ourselves up, die in our own waste, Ebola or now the Corona. Don't drink Corona. No, it's a bad joke. Tsunami, meteorite, who knows what might happen. But barring any of those exogenous, like that, I learned that word recently, exogenous events, any events that are way out of our control, we should do pretty darn well. And hopefully a graph like this will put things in perspective when they show you a huge graph that, well, it plummets down 10%. If you just go down to the bottom, include the zero axis, oh, that wasn't that big a deal. Okay, cool. All right. So Study. Know those indices that are on that worksheet, because we want you to be awesome, and we will see you in our next presentation. Are you getting an education? I sure hope so, folks. If you have any complaints, any suggestions, any questions, you know how to send them to. We want this to be the best class you've ever taken, and that's why we work hard to make it the best class, and we need your input to help us. So be awesome, dear students, study hard, and bring honor and glory to Southwestern Community College.